on your part.
Yeah, I like doing this. I love track. You love track.
Yeah.
Let's talk about track.
Hold on.
That's fine. What if you put it down and then up? It's like, when it's in your face, it's kind of intimidating. How you doing, man?
Good.
You healthy?
Yeah.
Good.
It was a good day of training.
You were running out there?
Yeah. It was interesting. Just getting.
You had
back.
A high school?
Yeah, we went to a high school track.
Oh, cool.
So it was good weather.
Oh, good. Okay, then we'll definitely after this I'll give you my info.
Sounds good.
Hey, nice meeting you, man.
You too.
It's cool.
You as well.
All right, welcome to the On Track and Field podcast. I'm your host, JT Ayers. All things track and field related. On Track and Field. Just go to that website. It's so easy. OnTrackandField.com. They're going to have what you need so you can get the best stuff. I'm here with Terrence Laird, and we're talking shop. And Terrence loves blocks. He loves good blocks. On Track and Field has good blocks. I love good blocks, too. That's just one thing that they have. Go there and get what you need. Also, you can't run at my place unless you have 3/16 pyramid spikes. Get them at On Track and Field. They have them. So you don't have to come here and buy them overly priced for me in my little bags I put 12 in for. But we're here live at Caesar's Palace. Been here all day. And we've been going through. And now I got a sprinter. I got a sprinter sitting before me. Not just a sprinter. One of the best ever to do it. Especially the collegiate level. Now he's pro.
Yes.
Terrence Laird, who is now we just found out at a Long Beach. So finally I get to talk to someone from California. Yeah. Love it. And as we are talking, you can enjoy the ambiance in the background of all the people having a good time. People love track and field. So, yeah. Terrence, man, thanks so much for joining me. But I just got to go through. Personal best, 1981. By the way, when you ran that race, you ran him down. Yeah. That was such a good race.
Yeah.
Do you consider yourself more of a 100 or 200 guy?
I get this question every time.
Oh, man, I don't want to start off with a question
No, no, no. So I try to answer it differently every time. I felt like the 200 is always my better event, but I've never won at any level besides high school at the 200. Like freshman year, I got second at conference in the 200. I won conference and SEC, but I never won it national level, but I've won the 100.
Yeah, weird. You know,
so like in my high school, I won the 100 at AAU, but didn't want to, like, so every, it's just very weird. Like, it's almost like 1 year I'm better than the 100, 1 year I'm better than 200. But I definitely think that.
You're a sprinter.
Yeah,
we'll say
just,
that.
It's like for me, like the 200, at an early age was a better event, and then I've got progressively better than the 100, but I still think on the 200 is just more challenge. It's harder to run. It's harder to perfect. So I
yeah.
think that 200 is definitely – it's
you once, like that.
Yeah, I like it more.
Yeah, so when you consider – I mean, we've been able to see your success. You were a phenom when out of high school.
Yeah.
College, oh, my gosh, man. It was so fun to watch you run. But I got a question for you, and this is purely out of, like, my speculation as a sprint coach. You're not a big bulky guy.
Yeah.
You know, is that something you try to make sure you maintain a particular weight? You're not going to try to get too bulky. I mean, I know if you went in the weight room and just did triceps and bench all day, you get
yeah.
huge.
Yeah.
But yeah, walk me through
me,
that.
Like the weight room, just with more so like freshman, sophomore year. Freshman year, you know, I never like, you know, we lifted in high school, but it was more or less to maintain. It wasn't to grow. And I think in, you know, high school, you know, and for Kurt's couple years of college, it was just like, I was trying to figure out what was working, what was not working. And obviously when I got to LSU, I had a back injury. So that was like...
From high school to college, you had a back injury?
No, so from once I got to LSU, so my junior, you know, from 2020 on, I've had like, you know, a back injury, you know, and it got progressively worse. And that's why I didn't run last year. But freshman, sophomore year, I just, you know, I was in the weight room, but I just felt like the strength coaches we had just weren't, I don't know, just I didn't feel like I just didn't correlate with it. You know, we were lifting heavy, but I was like... I just felt so sluggish all the time. And then for me, I just felt like I didn't mesh well. I mean, ran fast. I ran 20:55 indoors as a freshman, ran 20:41 outdoors as a freshman. But I just didn't feel like, as I got older, you know, I felt like I was just more fluid, you know, with more like, you know, bar speed, you know, not as much weight, but, you know, move the bar.
Yeah,
I
for
think
sure.
For me, like weight room, I'm still trying to get better. And then obviously now coming off injury, just being smart, not trying to push it too much, you know, taking a more or less a progressive approach to it. But I think, you know, just my size, it's just natural. Like, the natural turnover and all that stuff, it didn't come from weight room. You know, like, I feel like for me, weight room and just the strength part, I can get so much better in. I feel like I've hit more to my peak, you know, running, you know, technique and, you know, that stuff. But I feel like once you get in the weight room, your technique gets better because you're able to, you know, harness, you know, and use more power and output more power. So definitely I think, you know, the weight room is somewhere – where I haven't really tapped in as much as I have, you know, on the track and running workouts and doing different things.
Are you healthy now?
Yeah, I'm perfectly healthy.
Feel understand. Good?
Yeah, ready to run.
Man, redemption tour, huh?
More so just kind of just figuring out, is my training, you know, working? You know,
is it? Right now, do you feel good?
I feel great. I mean, I ran 666, which tied my personal best after not running for over 500 days competitively.
Wow.
Then I came back and ran 669 at Boston. I wasn't feeling, you know, I wasn't hurt. Just, you know, just a little tight, you know, travel, just different
Yeah, but
things.
The 60 is not your race.
But that's for the thing for me. I ran 6.6 twice in one season. Never done that before, ever. So if we're just talking about just the raw speed and just covering ground more, you know, more proficiently, I'm doing it better. So if I'm obviously covering more ground and taking less steps on the track,
yeah,
I'm running faster. I mean, that's how you run faster, less steps, covering more ground. I mean, that's just science. You take 30 steps in a, you know, 100, and then you take 28, that's two steps. That's 5-6 meters. That's, you know, how much faster you're running. So for me, I just feel like I'm correcting things that were my weakness. You know, the 60. Obviously, to be able to run a 60, my turnover is not getting better. It's the first 30. It's the push, the, you know, being more explosive, you know, covering ground, you know, proper mechanics, angles, all that stuff.
Sure. Well, and that's the thing is that, like, you're known as a closer, which is funny, too, because you're running, like, these times that are out of control, right? You can't just be a closer. You got to get pretty proficient in the beginning, too. But, like, when you close, I mean, gosh, when you anchor a 4x1, it's magic. But when you close, where does that come from? How, I mean, is your mechanics just better than everybody else? Is it because of your strength and you're just able to be bouncy longer? I mean, what are you doing?
I feel like when I run, especially, like, I need to know just in 4x1, it's just pick them up, put them down. Just
keep it simple.
Just pick them up, put them down, pump your arms. The faster you pump your arms, the faster your legs are going to go. Obviously, you know, that's just like, you know, not I'm going to say it's not true, not, you know, but not false. But I just worry about just almost like just running as fast as I can, but soundly and mechanically. Not just, you know, running like I'm scared or anything. Just my goal, like, especially when, you know, when we ran against Houston. And when I caught Sean, and, you know, I wasn't bragging about it, but the first couple steps, I started to press. Because I just wanted to catch him as fast as I possibly could. And I was like, hold on, let's not press and just keep running. And every step I felt that I was getting closer.
Hmm.
So I was like, okay, just keep doing this. I feel like I'm closing. And then obviously after a while, you know, I realized that he was coming to me more closely. And I was like, okay. But at first I pressed. Almost like, you know, if you know, in a hot race in 100, you look up and you see your competitor, he's gone, and like, you start pressing, and you start, you know,
panicking.
Running their race.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So for me, it's like, obviously it's Houston, you know, LSU. We don't like Houston, you know.
But hey, you know what? Rivalries are good for track and field.
I didn't want to lose at our home track.
Yeah.
You know, them come to our track and beat us after we lost the Texas Relay. So I was, even in the 200, like, I just feel like in my mind, I say hit the gear and it just happens. I don't know how to do it. It's just natural. Like, if I just say just turn over, it turn over. And that's just how it's just helped. I mean, just, I don't know. Just, I just tell my mind to hit a switch and I hit a switch.
Do you have a competition weight you try to be at?
No.
No? How much you weigh now?
About like 130, 135.
Yeah, that makes sense too, because
I'm definitely trying to put more weight on, because I just being stronger, especially now with track and field just being so fast.
Well, I like what you're saying. You're like, it's not something that I'm like, this is something I have to be or I have to do. Like, there's no ideal. You're different than these other guys.
Yeah.
Be you.
Yeah, and I think for me, just like with how fast the track is becoming, it's not about how fast you can run in one round. It's how fast you can run after three rounds. And obviously the strength part being at, you know, obviously being at a higher weight means you're, you know, you're lifting, you're stronger, you're more, you know, just ready for those rounds. And that's why I think, you know, obviously getting, you know, stronger. Obviously, if I get stronger, I'm going to put on weight. That's just,
makes
sense. So obviously getting stronger in every aspect, you know, in the weight room, on the track, everywhere. Legs, shoulders, back, everything, mind, everything. So for me, that's kind of, you know, getting stronger. You know, because putting weight on is going to be a kind of a, you know, a side effect to that, and not a bad side effect. But yeah, definitely, you know, just getting stronger and being ready to run rounds, because these guys aren't going to just sit back. You know, it's full tilt boogie every round. You know, we might not run 19.5 every round, but these guys are running 20, like 20.0 is
average for these people.
Yeah, it's a thing of the past. Like 20.0 before is like,
you won gold.
Yeah,
good
job. You're running. So like now it's just like, and obviously being strong enough to run maybe doubles. You know, I mean, because you never know. Running the 100 might set you up, you know, physically for the 200. You know, running, you know, 2-3 rounds of the 100. Even though you're not trying to make the team, but it's just that running, getting, you know, the blood flowing, getting momentum. Oh, I made the team at 100. I feel great. You know, like, let's go do it in 200, my better event. So just different things that can contribute to training and just different things that can help.
Why do you think the 200 is your better event?
By
the way, you're great at both. But, like,
just,
why?
I think just the ability to hold my top end speed for longer, and the lack of, I guess, being more, stronger in the first 30. So since my first 30 is not as strong, the 100 I can run a good time. But I think the 200 gives me more time to get going. And also I can hold that top end speed longer. But obviously, if I had a better start, I can run faster than 200 because I'm covering more ground. So I think you can get away with inefficiencies in your race in the 200 more so than the 100. 100, if you're not, you can come back. But I mean, like Noah, like he ran 9.8. He can run 9.7 if he, you know, just corrects his first 30. And I mean, obviously, it's easier said than done. But just he has the raw speed and the top end speed to run 9.7, 9.6. But obviously, we're both in the same suit where we're, you know, beating ourselves the first 30 and then taking ourselves out of the race to running well. Yeah, we win the race, but there's so much more you can run, you know, with not, you know, attacking the first 30 and just how we're, you know, made.
So your acceleration phase has gotten way better.
Yeah.
Your drive phase has gotten better. The 60s are better than they've ever been.
Yeah.
With that said, I mean, are you pulling heavy sled, light sled? I mean, how are you getting so more efficient? Are you trying to hit angles better out of the blocks? What do you attribute it to?
I think the biggest thing with Coach Smith, when I moved to, you know, out to L.A., Cal Poly, training at Cal Poly Pomona, the biggest thing was before when I ran, I always try to be quicker than everybody else. Like, because I knew my start wasn't proficient enough that where I can just, you know, not be, you know, lackadaisical, but like, you know, all I got to do is just, you know, react to the gun. I'll be in the race, you know. So me, it's like, I had to react better than everybody and just be quicker than everybody.
Sure.
But that's so hard. Like, it's too impossible. And all he did was say, just lift. And once I lifted, it made running so much easier just for the first 30. Like, almost lift when you're, like, pushing a sled.
Yeah.
You're lifting your knees or running up a hill, lift. Instead of being quick, 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 lift. And that, like, we literally timed it. I ran how I used to run, and I ran how he wanted me, you know, lift. And the times were so much different. And I was taking less steps, covering so much more ground, right, in those first 30, just lifting. That's just a quick, just little tweak. And that's why I think I was able to run 6.6 so effortlessly, because I didn't train. I've been training, but I haven't ran a competitive race since Olympic trials.
Yeah.
So from Olympic trials, you know, that's what, can't remember what that was, January, June something, to January 21st of 2023. That's almost 2 years. Well, under 200, you know, it was like 500 some days. I calculated it out. And all I did, you know, was just lift out of the blocks rather than, you know, be quick, you know, try to, you know, this, that. And for me, it was so frustrating when we were doing things. But once I got it down, I know now I can have a proficient start every time, muscle memory, just lifting. You know, but if I try to be quick and, you know, just be sloppy, then I'm, you know, you're spinning your wheels.
Right.
But now just lifting. We changed the block settings just a little bit, just, you know, but my hips, you know, I had to bring my
hips. Wait, what do you mean change higher. Them? Do you move them back a little bit?
So we moved.
And how did you figure out your block settings? You measuring out?
We did 2 and 3. You know, it's typical, you know,
yeah.
Front foot 2, back foot 3. And all we did was do the back foot instead of 3. You just do 3 and then you just move it up one, you know, block setting. You know, just move the little block up one setting. And
just up a little bit?
Yeah, just so, like, if depending on, like, the gill blocks, the big blocks, you know, they have,
gill fusion 10s?
Yeah.
On track and field?
Yeah.
All right,
so
we just, you know, the plug.
I hate them, the big blocks, but...
You don't like them big blocks?
I
love them. I got 2 sets. Come to my track. I'll hook you up.
They're all right, but we just moved it up. So, you know, like, you shuffle it. So you just shuffle up one, and that's it. So it's so much easier. Because, you know, some people get tape measure. No, you just, you know, bring the front pad up, measure it 2, and then measure this 3, and then move it up 1, and boom. Simple. And then that was just a minor correction. And
it works.
It worked. I mean, I ran 6.66 after, you know, taking off, you know, running 500 days, first race back. I've been training since around, I would say about 25th of October. I can't remember that exact date. But when I ran 6.66, I started training in August, September. I ran that February 14th, you know, Tyson Invitational.
Yeah.
That was after running 2 rounds. I run this first round hot out the gate. After training for...
Did you surprise yourself?
For me, I was like, I said I wanted a PR. But I didn't know how realistic it is, because when we at practice, I don't ask about times. All I think I ask about is technique. How did it look? Did I execute technique? Because times are going to come if you execute your technique. I mean, hey, what'd you run? Like, because if you're...
Are they measuring everything too? Do you have free lap and stuff out there?
Not as much.
Not as much? Stopwatch?
stopwatch. But that's for me, like, that's why I like training by myself. I train by myself. It's so much easier because the clock, you can never beat the clock. I need this. We need, you know, 3 250s, 25, or 3 250s, 26. Not 25 is fast, but we need 3 250s in this time. If you're coming in at a certain time, you can't beat the watch. Like, you can't out-hustle the watches. You can't beat the watch.
Yeah.
So for me, the watch indicates what you're doing at a the most, I guess, 100% accuracy. Like, if you clock your guys, okay, I need all these five. We need 5 100s today, 11 flat or better. 11-1, 11-1, right? And then they go out and run a little slower than their PR. Well, in practice, you weren't putting in the progressive work to get to, you know, running a personal best. So for me, I feel like we corrected some things. I was training hard. I asked them straight up. I said, do you think I'm ready to compete as a coach? Because you see things that I don't see. I feel good. I feel ready. But this guy, I feel rocking when I have to run 6'9". And be like, what the hell, what we're not doing?
Yeah.
But, you know, I said, do you think I'm ready to compete? He said, yep, I'm good. I'm locked in. Warm up, boom, boom, and ran. And that was as simple as that.
Wow, I like how simple you make it. Your perspective, I mean, on all this stuff, too. I mean, you sound like a coach.
I mean, it's easy. Like, when you train, it's not hard. It's just execute what you're doing because it becomes muscle memory. It becomes second nature. I mean, when you sprint, if you sprint and over stride, yeah, you're going to have problems. But once you run properly, and you can tell when you're not doing stuff, you know, properly. You can tell when you're running fast. Like, I knew when I ran my personal best in 100 and 200, I knew that I was moving. Like, I could feel it.
Before, you know? Even before that? Going into it?
Like when we are in Texas Relays, I don't know if you know Michael Cherry and Vernon Norwood.
Oh, yeah.
So they were in the 4x4 there because they always do like a pro, you know, at least
right,
you guys
right,
run
right.
pro.
And they're running 44s like it's their,
so we're running,
easy.
So we ran the 4x1, and I ran, like, I just, 4x1, I just felt like I was just floating, like I was moving. We didn't win the race, but I just felt like we were just moving. So I told Mike, we come back to the warm-up area, I get adjusted, you know, stuff. I said, Mike, so I'm running 19 a day. You know, I'm calling my shot. I'm not being cocky, but I just felt like, you know, I feel good. I'm running 19 today. Like, man, you're not like that. You know, you're not open up 19. You know, it's outdoor season. You know, you NCAA's for 2 weeks ago. You're not running 19. I said, I'm running 19. So the meet schedule got pushed back a little bit. So we had, like, more time. Thankfully, Coach Betty Brazil, great coach, LSU, he normally, we cannot listen to music whatsoever during our warm-up.
Wait, why?
Just his rule. So he was with the 400 hurdlers because the meet got back, so he wasn't in the warm-up area. So I snuck in, was listening to some...
Oh, no, we're getting controversial stuff now.
I'm listening to some music, you know, throw some music. I'm just getting back, because for me, music is just like, I don't know, just gets me in the zone.
You listen to music now?
Yeah, yeah, all
now,
the time.
Now because you're not at LSU?
Yeah, like, all the time. I mean, if we're allowed to, but I listen to music. It's something that gets me in the zone. And,
sure. Oh, yeah,
you know,
you're not the only one.
He wasn't there, so I'm listening to music, I'm doing, you know, did some blowouts and stuff, and I'm just like, yo, like, you know, I'm just, like, in the zone. So we get onto the track, it's hot, like, it's cooking, you know, Tech for Days, it's hot. I have my little water mixed with Pedialyte, you know, to stay hydrated. I'm get to the start line, and I'm like, I don't want to run this race no more. Like, I was just, like, so hot, I felt dehydrated and everything. I'm like, I don't even want to run this race no more. My teammate from Hines was at Liberty, he was in lane 8, he's like, man, he said, you know, what's, you know, what we on today? What we run? I said, man, I don't want to run this race, to be honest with you. I was straight up with him, and I was like, man, let me just run this. So when the gun went off, I'm driving. I didn't even look up, because I'm like, if I look up.
Yeah, what lane were you in?
I was in 4. I think Sean was in 6.
Oh, okay. Well,
I just know he was maybe in 5.
I remember
5.
You in the outside lane, but
yeah,
I think it was a different race.
I think it was 5 or 6. I just know I was on the inside of him. So I knew Sean, you know, he's a 60 guy, 100 guy. He can run fast,
yeah.
But I never seen what he ran in the 200. So I'm just like, I know he's going to get out better than me. He's faster than 100 fast. Well, I beat him in thinking 100, but I knew he's better than the 60. So I knew the first 60, even though if I try to jump the gun and, you know, look up and try to, you know, like I said, press, I'm not going to catch him. So, I, you know, drive out. I look up, and I'm like, yo, he is flying. In my mind, I hit that switch. Got to go. Like, we got, like, got to go.
What, you're like 40 meters in the race?
Yeah, like, I came up like 50. 40,
and you were
50.
Like, I got to switch.
I hit that switch.
That's usually when you, like, carry that speed.
Yeah, like, so I hit the switch. So I was at maybe, like, you know, 90, 95. I went to 100. I held that 100 to probably the exchange zone. That exchange zone, I don't know. I just did it. I started outside the lane. Every step I took, I slowly cut, like, inside the lane. So when I'm running down the straightaway, I'm towards the inside of the lane. So I almost, like, had, like, a whiplash.
Yeah, you just come out the lane.
And I pulled up to him on the curve, like coming off the curve, and I hit it again. And, you know, I've run 250s and stuff, so I'm like, okay, just hold it. I'm going to start getting tired. I got to 150.
Not
I was
tired.
Not tired. And I just kept hitting. Like, I just never felt that way. I just kept just accelerating, just kept hitting it, and just pumping my arms and just kept accelerating. And once I hit the line, I'm like, this was 19. How far down are we? And I look up, I see 19.8. I'm like, holy, like.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, you didn't know.
Like, I didn't know that I was running. I thought, maybe 1999, 1997, like, But I'm like, 19.8. And 84 came up. Then it got cracked down to 81. I'm like, holy, like. I was like. But for me, like, the first 100, like, it was almost like I just, every time I needed to hit a, it was almost like, driving a car, like, race car, have nitrous. I kept hitting a gear. And I just was like. Like, I just kept hitting gears, And to this day, I've never felt that way in a race ever again. Like, I don't know if I was just...
Music and Pedialyte, right?
Like, just... I just don't know. Like, I just was fresh, and I just...
That's cool.
But it... Like, that race, and then after that race, I would try to run that same race. And, that last 50, just never had, was never, wanted to get to 150. I wasn't tired, but, lactic and stuff, so... But in that race, it was similar to SEC. Like, SEC's already 1982, but that race...
You didn't feel the same?
No, like, I got out...
Pretty much the same time.
I got out, and my friend Lance, he's at Arkansas now. He used to be at Kentucky. He was gone. And I was like, dang, like... I'm like, dang, Lance, like, what were you... Like, because he was on the inside of me. He flew by me. I'm like, whatever. And then Matt was... And I caught up to Matt, so I'm like, okay, like, I got this, And then I knew, like, at some point, every time I ran SECs and they caught up to me at Nationals, I knew if I let off the gas, and what happened at Nationals, I let off the gas, I knew Joe was going to come back somewhere.
Ah.
And that's what happened at Nationals. I let off the gas I let off at, like, 190. And at 95, I felt him, and I knew it, that,
Well, yeah, because he takes up, like, two lanes.
And I just knew that.
Guy.
At 195, I lost the race. And I was so upset because I was like, all I do is run to the line.
Yeah.
I was so tired, but yeah, for me, like, SECs, like, I felt good, especially after the 100. That 100, that was, like, another big thing. And I've said this past interview, but I'll tell you guys. So when we were at the SECs, we were in the hunt for the team title.
Yeah.
Before the hunt. We won the 4x1 and the 100. Coach Shaver told me, just get third. Just get 6 points. In my mind, I'm like, huh? I mean, one of the top kids in the country in the 100. Ran 10.05. At this point, I think I'm, pretty sure there's only maybe one other kid. Javon Martin, my friend, went to Florida State. You think he ran 9.94, but there was another kid. I'm pretty sure it was only like me, him, and I think Makai Williams had ran like 10.0 something. So I'm top five in 100 in the country. I ran the fastest time in the prelim. I'm the fastest kid in the NCAA in the SECs, and you're telling me you go get third in the 100? I'm like, nah. I don't know what I did, but I just hit my start. Never had a start like that a day in my life. Going into that meet. Hit my start, and I just was like, every step, I'm just going to create a gap and embarrass these kids just to show Coach Shaver that I'm not getting third.
I wonder if he knew that too.
And like,
he obviously knew you,
but
by,
like,
telling that, he probably got you all fired
for me
up.
Like, for me, and like, I was just like, okay. And now I was like, I know Nathaniel Mitchell Blake did the triple at SECs. Well, I gotta do it too. Like, I'm just like, and for me, every time we especially ran a championship meets, the most, like, every time winning is just points,
yeah,
that's for sure. I was just trying to win a team title. Obviously, SEC is too hard with Arkansas. We don't have distance. It's all about bodies.
I know.
That's why they always win. They have so many bodies. It is what it is. But when we went to Nationals, that was my mindset. Like, the 100, same way. He told, just get – but the 100 was so different because I got a decent start, but every step after 50 meters, I felt like almost in the 4x1, I was closing. So I said, just stay relaxed. Just keep running. Don't press. And that's all I did.
Man, you're a good storyteller. This is so – I didn't even have to say a thing.
I try to save some stories and some stuff.
I don't think I have any guests on this podcast that tell stories as good as you. I'm riveted. We got to have you back on, man. This is super cool.
Yeah, I have no problem. I mean, I'm good. I'm good with telling those stories. I mean, I just feel like it's just authentic.
We're going to follow your career, dude. Like, we are so glad that you're healthy now, and you're going to continue to do amazing things. So, ontrackandfield.com, sponsors of the podcast, relaybatons.com. Stick around. You can listen to Steve, our CEO, tell you how to get in contact with him on social media. But man, Terrence, the man, he's got fat. He's not done. We're going to see how fast he goes.
I'm just trying to get better each year and year.
Each year. All right, Steve, take us away. Dude, I didn't even have to do anything. You did all the work.
Yeah.
Thanks to our guest, Terrence Laird, for joining us on this week's On Track and Field podcast, the last episode in our Live from Las Vegas series. The On Track and Field podcast is powered by RelayBatons.com, custom engraved, meat and competition legal relay batons, water bottles and tumblers, great for team branding, fundraisers, meet awards, and coaches' gifts. And by OnTrackandField.com, cross country and track's one-stop source for everything you need for a successful season. Competition competition gear, spikes, training equipment, and shoes. OnTrackAndField.com has everything you need. And make sure to check out our new website, OnTrackRunning.com, your new source for competition and training shoes. Featuring Saucony, Brooks, On Running, New Balance, Asics, and Hoka shoes and spikes. OnTrackRunning.com. And make sure to follow us on our socials at OnTrack, the letter N, Field, at OnTrackAndField on Twitter and the Gram.